up. This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
All right, Turtle Pie. All right, roasters. 1 hour left. Line them up. 888-957-9570. It's your chance to ask Baldy anything. Get a question you have about your team. You could be a fan of any team. It doesn't matter. Could ask Baldy about the Golden Gate Bridge. Ask him about the San Francisco skyline. Ask him about clam chowder. Whatever the hell you want to ask Baldy, it's your time to do it right now. 888-957-9570. We just had George Kittle on, the two-time All-Pro. And what a fun interview that was, Shasky. It's one of our best ones.
Phenomenal. And if you're not subscribing to us on YouTube, it's free. All right. Go onto YouTube, create an account. You can find it all there. All the content. We got 90,000 subs. So we've got a lot of loyal listeners out there and viewers. And thank you guys for that. But if you missed it, you can go on the Odyssey app, rewind it, listen to it there. You'll find it on our podcast page. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast page, we got that wherever you find podcasts. Definitely check that out. And Baldy, I think he was digging you.
I have a good relationship with George. We did a film session one time at the Pro Bowl. His dad came in the session. So his dad was an offensive line coach at Oklahoma. You know, and so, like, his dad's built better than George. Like, he's in really good shape. But it was just great. It's like, when he's talking about the support system he has with his wife and his family, like, that's real. Like, they are completely united. Just great family. And, you know, just a great respect for the game.
You know, you kind of opened up the door here because I see a lot of people put all 22 film or just film out on the internet. Mm-hmm. No one does it like you, mm-hmm. and that's what makes you unique. And there's levels to the credibility, mm-hmm. right? There mm-hmm. are the average guy who, I'm not saying they don't know what they're talking about, but, I mean, are they educated enough to understand the scheme, the responsibilities, all those things? And so I see a lot of stuff out there when, like, a quarterback should have thrown here or looked here or this guy should have blocked this guy and that guy. Before I get to, like, what you're looking at, when you see those things online, how does someone who you're very credible, Baldy. You are at the top of the charts for this. How do you sift through that?
Well, I mean, you can't help but notice some of it that's out there.
Yeah.
Anybody that's trying to do this, like, more power to you. Like, I'm not trying to compete with anybody, but I think the idea that you're going to say Brock Purdy should have thrown the ball here. He didn't throw it. Like, I would never do that because I don't know what the play is.
Yeah.
And I don't know Kyle Shanahan said during the week to Brock Purdy about this particular play. So I never want to get into the aspects of play calling or design or anything like that because none of us know.
Yes.
Right.
And every play, every play that comes into a huddle can be changed at the line of scrimmage, can be altered. The quarterback can see something. He's got a check over here. So, like, that's – if they're doing that, that's fine. I would never do that. I'm 90% very positive about things. Like, even if I'm looking at, say, Olafoshanu, who's trying to play right tackle in New York. And, you know, like, I pointed out a couple things the other day where, one, he's too high on the ball. He's got to get off the ball. Right tackle is different than left tackle for him. He's never played right tackle. So I'm just explaining some of the nuances, because Tristan Wirfs had to do it from right tackle to left tackle. And he told me, like, he'd go to a Chinese restaurant and eat the food with chopsticks with his left hand. He goes, I never got a bite in my mouth. Like, he was trying to train himself. So, like, what I'm trying to do is take what George tells me in a film session, and I'm trying to incorporate it.
Yeah.
Or what a coach told me. So I'm trying to add some layers to it in depth. But then I know some of these guys I can make fun. Like, I don't know where some of the things I say comes from. It's just just freestyling, to be honest with you. And I kind of like it that way. I could easily put it in some of these graphic machines and spit out.
No, I like the way you do it.
Like, I just want it raw. Like, you're literally in a film room with me. And I know some people don't like it. It's not high tech enough. That's fine. I get that argument. But, like, I could do that. Just takes too much time. And I only do what hits me. Like, I don't go looking for something.
Yeah. Because you could find that if you have a predetermined agenda on film, yes, you could find things to pick point. So, okay, because one thing I want to, I've never been in some high level, you know, film study breakdown or anything like that. But when I watch like bunt coverages in baseball and you zoom out, there are, depending on who you're talking to, there's different philosophies. Mm-hmm. And one guy believes in this and another guy believes in that. And they will like fight to the death on what their principle of how they grew up. I'm sure the same thing happens in a football room. If you get two differing people looking at the same film, you can get wildly different points of view.
Look, Dick Vermeil was different than Parcells. That was different than Bill Walsh. Like, you take any coach, and they did things differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I just got done training camp. So, like, I mean, I met the Jets Washington scrimmage, and I'm talking to the Jets offensive line coach. Like, and I was asking him about how he's, like, training Olufoshana, what his philosophy is. So it's different than what Jeff Stoutland's doing in Philly. It's just different. But I know that now. So I know what to look for. And I could be talking to Tyron Smith about helping Olufoshana. So wherever I go, I'm taking the face-to-face contact conversation I'm having with Garrett Wilson, let's say. Garrett Wilson's being trained by a really good wide receiver coach right now. Van Jefferson's father. He's been in the, Sean Jefferson. He's been in the league a long time.
Former Charger.
He's a great wide receiver coach.
Former Charger.
But, like, you know, so Garrett's telling me about some of the things that he believes in. So I can incorporate that. Aaron's telling me that he can't overthrow Garrett Wilson. He's just that fast.
Wow.
But you don't think about speed when you think of Garrett Wilson. You think body control, hands, route running. But, like, so now you're saying, okay, like, this guy is an elite, not just route runner, but he's got speed. So everywhere I go, I'm trying to take in something and then factor that into whatever video I end up doing next.
Have you ever been approached to do video games or be voiceover for video games?
Yeah, I was.
Really?
Yeah. So
that
I actually
surprised me.
No, listen to this. So this is actually a great story, Bonte. So Microsoft had Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you had Madden, and Madden was, so Xbox wanted to get into it. So Microsoft's out of Seattle. So anyways, I go and audition to be the analyst for Xbox. So I get the gig, okay? So I get a 2-year deal, and this is what we did. I go to New York. I'm in New York City for 5 days straight, from 8 in the morning till 5 at night. Nice pass by Donovan McNabb. Nice pass by Jeff Garcia. Like, you're just doing these reads, like thousands of them. So I do literally 2 straight weeks of this. So, like, I earn my money, and then Xbox, they never made that addition. They got bought out.
Yeah, they did a licensing agreement with Madden because Madden was exclusive at the time to PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah, so I was like, it was unbelievable. When I was doing this, I was like, I had nephews that were like 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
They thought like I was walked on water. Like, my uncle is going to be the voice of like this video game. Like, they thought it was the greatest thing ever.
It never
got made.
It doesn't surprise me because always, you know, people are like, oh, Jay, how can you call him the modern day John Madden? Because when I think of Madden and when I think of your video breakdowns, Madden in the booth, just off the cuff, drawn with the yellow pen on the chalkboard. It's boom, boom. And he's teaching the offensive line play, defensive line play in a very simplistic term, right? He's doing it to where the novice football fan could catch on, the casuals could catch on and learn the game of football. And that's what I think about when I watch your video. So when I do see these other breakdowns and people are like, Jimmy should have thrown it here. And and the same thing you just said. We would argue about it all the time. Shaskin and I would be like, I don't know what the read was. Yeah. Was Pettis the fourth option or the first option?
It's unfair.
I have no idea. It's very unfair to the player.
Well, I mean, so I try to be very fair.
Yep.
And I try not to get into any of that. I know there are certain things where a player, like, there was a mistake made at right guard down there in overtime for the 49ers.
For sure.
You know, and it's a mistake, you know, and if that guy gets blocked, Brock Purdy's probably going to find Brandon Ayuk in the end zone. He's all alone. But he can't because, you know, Chris Jones is chasing him. But, like, you know, like, that's not, like, that play that I showed, and I did it the next morning, it blew up, I don't know, 5-6 million people, whatever. So, but, like, but that's the biggest spot of the game. You know, and that's, you know,
you have to identify.
Like, you have to identify. Yeah. Like, you know, and then you're seeing, like, there's Ayuk, like, the corner is, like, on his, you know.
L'Jarius Sneed,
L'Jarius. So, like, he's just, so, like, yeah, but I try to stay pretty much positive. Like, you can't do enough Penei Sewell right now in this business. Like, he's just that much of a freak.
I got to say, I saw Penei Sewell. So, NFC Championship game.
He's a monster.
I'm walking around on the field. I was like, wow, he looks like a monster. So, from my seats, the Niners are coming out for their starting lineups. You know, hey, number 54, Fred Warner. And Penei Sewell is right there where the Niners turn into the tunnel. Yeah. And he's just looking at each and every one of them with his face paint on. And he's got some other guys behind him. I said, okay, this guy's built different.
Yeah.
When you see a guy like that, he wants all the smoke in the world. And the first play, if I'm not mistaken, the first play of the game, they run the ball and he knocks somebody on their ass. And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's going to be a 15-year pro.
Oh, he's got rare power. He got, you know, he got compensated this year. He's going to be a lifer Detroit Lion. But he's you know, like you just see that talent. Because the NFL, everything is pretty close. And then there's just certain people that just have more talent than everybody else. Lane Johnson's never off his feet. Lane Johnson, like, it's almost impossible to beat him. Nobody has a kickstart like he does. Like, I know how he trains. I'm in his backyard a lot. I talk to him a lot. But, like, that guy is now in his 13th year. Like, it's, you know, you just don't see guys 13 years with, hasn't lost. Like, he's as fast now as he was coming out of Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. His first ever start, Penei Sewell's, was against Bosa. Oh. Week one, remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Detroit. And he looked like he belonged, even though the Niners were up big in that one. Like, when I watched the New York Giants offseason on Hard Knocks, some of the things that I found to be the most fascinating was when Daboll and the entire crew of New York Giants front office guys are sitting there and they're going through on the whiteboard and the film study with some of the players. Yeah. I found that to be fascinating. And I know a little, like, in terms of learning. Forget football, but just learning. Some people learn better in the classroom. Some people can just do it. You know what I mean? They're just instinctual. Some people, it's a combination of both. Some it's visual.
Some guys are just gamers and lousy practice players. Yeah. Like, there's all these things.
So, but like when you're sitting down in a film room, a film study, are there certain dead giveaways with a player that you kind of know, like, oh, he doesn't understand it intellectually, or he does, you know, right away? What are the telltales, I guess?
Like, I'm watching this kid in Buffalo the other day. His name is Joe Andreessen. So Matt Milano got hurt the week before. So this kid Andreessen got a chance to start. He's a college free agent. Like, I'm not sitting there. Look, Fred Warner is just, he's different than everybody else in this whole business. But this kid's instinct to where the ball was going and how fast he made the jump, like, he made a lot of plays. He had like 12 tackles in this game last week, but against Pittsburgh. But like, he, like, I don't know if he's going to start or not start. They've got a lot of veteran guys in front of him. But this kid, you could just tell this guy, he's got a nose for the ball. Like, his first step read was, whether it's he's reading the hat of the lineman or the formation, whatever it is, something's telling this kid this is where it's going. And then the angle that he took. Like it's early, but he looks like he's going to be a good player in Buffalo.
Wow.
But you're looking for those kind of things. Then you're looking at guys, like even Chase, you know, like, what's different today than your rookie year 5 years ago? Not much. You know, you haven't seen, like, the development. But I can show you Max Crosby's first game against Indianapolis Colts, and I can show you Max Crosby now, and I can show you his development.
What about being in the room with that individual and understanding it? Because I think that we underrate the intellectualness of the game.
Completely. So, I mean, I've sat in with over 60 different players.
Okay.
At every position. Like, I remember sitting down with... hang on a second. I'm just blanking right here for 1 second, but I'll get it to you. Like, I remember sitting down, with Minka Fitzpatrick. So Minka, you know, he's first round pick at Alabama, goes to Miami. And, you know, like, whatever, Miami didn't fall in love with him. They couldn't figure out his position. He gets traded to Pittsburgh on a Tuesday, and he's starting against the 49ers on Sunday. So he's there 5 days, and he has an interception. He's got a fumble recovery and a forced fumble.
Yeah, he was ridiculous in that game.
So I remember sitting with him, and I put that game on. I go, Mika, like, did you even know the calls in this game? He goes, yeah, you know, free safeties, Baldy, like, always play behind the ball. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, the outside zone's coming. Like, there's no rush to get there. You're 15 yards off the ball. Like, don't let it cut back on you. So, like, that thing, play behind the ball. Like, I've never forgotten that. Like, as a free safety. Like, you've got time to go make the play if McCaffrey turns it up. Mm-hmm. But if McCaffrey cuts it back, like, you're the last guy to the end zone. So, like, this, like, the instincts that a position has. Like, if you talk to Micah about the game, like, people criticize him for a lot of different things, which is ridiculous. But his ability just to freelance and find the football is second to none.
He's so special.
He's just special.
He is special.
Like, I don't want to corral that guy.
Right.
I want to have that defense where if he wants to go inside, well, then Damn it, somebody get outside.
Who's Mike a carbon copy of? Is it LT? Is it Derek Thomas? Is it because he's got a little bit of those traits. When I see Mike coming up there, Polamalu.
The freelancing, because Manning said it like, I would get mad at Polamalu because he wasn't where he should have been. And he would just jump different things and he would do freelancing stuff.
Ryan Clark was opposite safety with him. And Ryan's job was to, if Troy did something like that, where he was just going to go and just charge the A-gap from the free safety position, Ryan had to cover for him.
Yeah.
Like, so you got to have, and, you know, and he had, Brian.
McFadden?
McFadden. He had McFadden on the corner. Like, they kind of knew. They kind of knew how to play. Darren Sharper was like that when he was a free safety. He's got 60 interceptions in his career. Like, you know, certain guys, you learn how to play with them, and you can't take that aspect that, like, Ed Reed had that. So you couldn't, they tried to corral Ed Reed, and they tried to say you got to be here, but these guys' instincts, like, you got to let them play to those instincts.
That's what separates the greats from the good, the cream and the crop right there. Let's take some calls here. Got a couple people online here. Ask Baldy anything. Let's start off with our main man, Adam, in San Francisco. Adam, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Baldy. Welcome.
Thanks, Adam.
Quick two-part, but the first quick question, since you're in the Bay, I know how much you love the water. If you've done this already, great. But have you taken a dip into Ocean Beach, Baker, Stinson, one of them?
Ugh. No. The closest I've come is Santa Cruz.
Oh yeah, Santa Cruz.
Baldy, we're going to get you up to the Russian River one day. We're going to go kayaking down that river, you and I.
Okay.
All right. That's on our list.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, are there rapids?
Oh, there's no rapids. We're going to be rope swinging it.
Okay.
It's like deliverance style.
Sounds
we're going down. I got
Baldy.
My
rapids.
We're going to have a great time.
No, I'm good at a boat. I'm good.
Yeah.
Adam, what's your second question, Adam?
Yeah, no, and you guys have been talking about linemen a lot the last, you know, hour, but I really wanted to get your opinion about Dominic Cooney. He, I think, has been named the starting right guard. Yeah. He just looks ready to part. He gets to that second level. He even slides off a box when he's initially blocked his initial man. Like, what do you think his kind of outlook is, you know, moving forward with the Niners or just his NFL career?
I mean, look, I've said it. It's like you just watched my breakdown on him. He just looks like a natural. He looks like a natural right guard. Some guys, you plug him in and he's got the size, the movement, the length, the angles in the run game to get to the second level. Like, I haven't seen anything that, like, he was going against Brian Breezy the other day in New Orleans. Like, he's a first-round pick, and he's a legit defensive end tackle. And he didn't have any problem with them. And when he wires guys up, they're wired. Like, they're not getting off him. So he knows how to use his hands. He's got good feet. Like, he's got a good base. Like, it's hard not to find – it's hard to find a weakness right now with the guy. Like, it's not surprising me, even if Burford and Banks comes back, whatever. Like, it doesn't surprise me that he's been named the starter.
No doubt. No, we still got to get Baldy a ribeye steak. Text line, I missed the first hour. How was Baldy's ribeye steak? Well, we haven't got that done yet. I don't know what your plans are.
We had a cheese omelet. We had, like, a double order of bacon.
So, what's the plan after the show?
I got to do this thing with the Giants back at the hotel. And I'm flying down to L.A.
That is a quick little flight.
Baldy, you reference Fred Warner. You bring up middle linebacker in these parts, and it's Willis, Bowman. You know, those are like the gold standards for the position. And Fred's been amazing. Iron Man. You said he's a freak, and he's a cut above everyone else. What exactly, why is that?
Well, I remember actually talking to John Lynch. His first game was in Minnesota against the Vikings, and I was doing that game that day. So I saw John Lynch, and I'm like, so, you know, who's the Mike linebacker? And he goes, well, Fred's our Mike. Like, he's – and I forget the guy they drafted from Alabama.
Ruben Foster.
Ruben. Yeah. So, you know, Ruben was getting all the pub.
Yep.
But, like, John shut it down right there. Like day one, he's our Mike linebacker. So there's an intelligence – he knows where the ball's going. His ability – to, like, get depth in the passing game, to handle all these tight ends and all these slot receivers is rare. But he plays the game so fast. Like, his hits are as hard as anybody's hits. Like, his ability to go make plays at the line of scrimmage, to blitz, like, he just plays the game so fast with not an ounce of hesitation.
Is he a Hall of
Famer? He does.
Like, in terms of, like, well, what look, he
I mean, if you just
table.
Put Patrick Willis in a Hall of Fame, like, Fred, and the other thing is, like, I know, Like Patrick came in, he was first team all pro his first year. And five of his 7 or 8 years he played. Like Fred Warner is that guy right now. You can say Bobby Wagner, you can say Roquan Smith. He's better than all of them and has been. But is he a Hall of Famer? Yeah, he is. Like, I don't know. Like, he never missed a game at BYU. He's never missed a game with the 49ers. I don't know if he missed games in high school or not. I doubt it. Like, the ability to, like, it's just an amazing quality. A guy that can just line up and play every play, every game, every year.
He's a presidential. Well,
you mentioned him hitting people. I thought the Pittsburgh game was over the minute he hit Najee Harris of Pittsburgh in the game you were at.
Yep.
He hit the first quarter, boom. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, this game might be over. I mean, he's shut it down
like,
there.
Literally, I could break down Fred Warner every game.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
Like, his ability to recognize, to see it. And then, you know, look, I hope Trey gets back healthy. But I remember talking to Fred before that Pittsburgh game. And I'm like, how many years is it now for you and Trey? And I'm like, has it been 3 years? He goes, Baldy, we're starting our 6th year together.
Wow.
Like, nobody has a tandem of inside linebackers with that much game experience together.
Let's take this call real quick. Benzo and Napa.
I want to get back into that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to go down that road.
Just
with
the minute that Dre came off the field, I want to get into that.
Napa, what's happening?
What's up, guys?
What's up,
awesome
baby?
Awesome show. Love when you got Baldy on. What a legend to be able to speak with. So I got two parts. There's like a food thing going on. So I want to ask Baldy just in general because I'm from New York, and I'll get to that in a second. Where are the best chicken wings?
Well,
like, where have you had the Buffalo best chicken wings?
You go to Buffalo, and, you know, I mean, that's the home of the Buffalo wing. So, you know, probably Buffalo is the best place.
All right. Yeah, I'm from the other side of New York. We got really good chicken wings up there. I was just wondering.
What's the other side?
What's the other side? Now, it's been like...
What's the other side? Montauk, Long Island? What side are you talking about?
No, like Vermont area, like right next to it. Albany, okay. New York, right up the north way.
Eastern New York. All right, I got you.
New York Giants territory.
Okay.
So yeah, I wanted to ask on the next side of it is I've lived in the Bay Area for a while. I like the 49ers quite a bit. I really like the rivalry that's always kind of been East Coast, West Coast, Giants, Niners. But, man, my Giants can't show up, and I don't know when they're going. I'm so happy they got rid of Saquon Barkley because they were just beating that guy up, and now he went to the Eagles. And my question for you is, what do the Giants got to do? I know the show's out. I've been watching. They just still seem like a mess to me. Daniel Jones seems like should have never been in that position in the first place. They bought into him. And I just want to be out here in the Bay rooting for the Giants, seeing all my 49ers friends and having a good time again. How far out are we on that?
Well, I mean, look, as bad as Daniel Jones was to start that game last week, the offensive line played very well. And I think they actually got 5 legitimate starters right now. So, Illuminar's been a good pickup. John Michael Schmitz is healthy right now. Andrew Thomas is a stud at left tackle. If they can stay healthy up front, I think Motor Singletary is going to be just fine. But Malik Nabers is going to be a star in this league. He's going to catch 100 balls this year.
Wow.
So, like, he's going to be a star. Like, the guy is, like, you can't take your eyes off number 9 when you go to practice.
Was he the most impressive receiver in this draft class to you?
I loved Rome.
I loved
everything about Rome.
I loved all 3 Washington receivers.
Jalen McMillan.
That's what I'm saying.
Where's he at? He's in Tampa.
They were raving about him the second week of camp. Like, he's their slot receiver.
Oh, my gosh. That's scary.
Washington Pac-12 championship game at Allegiant Stadium. And the way they spread you out, their running back was very good. But the way they spread you out, he just picked them apart. Each guy was winning these one-on-ones on the outside. It was a very high-level game. I actually thought it was the best the Pac-12 has looked for, like, in a long, long time. I do want to get back to the Super Bowl with Dre Greenlaw, because when you go to games, I do feel like you get that zoomed-out view, and you just get to see more movement of more players. You know, being on the couch is great and seeing the game, but it's kind of zoomed in. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see how a defense kind of bends to different guys out on the field. Me and B were watching the Super Bowl. We're up in the press area and, you know, trying not to root and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching after Dre Greenlaw walked off the field, and I'm not trying to pick on these guys, but Oren Burks and Dominic Flanagan Fowles and Gibson, they didn't know where to line up.
Yeah,
there was confusion before every snap. There's Travis Kelce and no one's guarding him. I mean, there was a variety of issues, but it felt like the second Dre walked off that field, they were in full chaos mode defensively pre-snap.
Well, you saw Fred's reaction. You know, when he went down. I mean, I think it was the 11th play of the game. So you saw Fred's reaction. Now, that's his, I mean, they're partners in crime. So they, the way that they play off each other, like they don't even need to communicate with each other. And especially if you're in some sort of man zone type of defense where, you know, one guy's got the back, one guy's got the tight end, or they're dropping in the cut. Like, they just play off each other so well. And if you don't have that guy next to you, and that guy's having trouble lining up because he hasn't played a lot of snaps, or Kansas City's got a lot of pre-snap motion, whatever it is, like, it's just not going to be as efficient as you're used to seeing.
Yeah, my, that Tampa, you got me thinking about McMillan and Tampa Bay. I didn't know he landed there with Mike
Bucky
Evans.
Irving's
and
both those kids from Oregon.
Bucky Irving, oh, man. Oh, that's
and that Graham Barton, that Graham Barton is, yeah, like, that guy's going to be a Pro Bowl.
You're right about Greenlaw. He set a tone in that Super Bowl. You knew right away. He's hitting. He does this thing where he hits the helmet.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Helmet, Baldy. I'm saying, Greenlaw, why do you always hit the helmet?
He plays the game on the edge.
Yeah, he does.
He just plays on the edge. Like, I know some people think, like, he's had some hits, it's been flagged, and you can throw the, you know, that D word at him, whether it's dirty or not, but he plays on the edge.
What was the I think it was Parcells and Tuno were talking, and he says, you know, you got to have players with character, and then you got to have characters who can play.
Right.
And I put Dre in the characters who can play category. You got to have the right balance.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But not everybody could be a choir boy.
Right. No. And you don't, like, that's the beautiful thing about football is, like, honestly, the locker room takes them all in.
Yeah.
And if they can play, I mean, that's why we give some guys a second or third chance. If they can play, then you almost have to play your way out of there.
No doubt. No doubt about that. More coming up with Baldy. Our last segment, Ask Baldy Anything. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
This is Jeremiah from Fremont, also known as the Legend Jerry, and you're listening to the Morning Rose with Monte Hill and Butcher Boy Joe Shasky, two Bay Area homegrown legends themselves, everybody. And I want you guys, everybody, to stay with me now. The best part of waking up is the Morning Rose in your cup.
Oh! Storytelling with Baldy. Between breaks, on the air, it's been a hell of a show. It's flown by. George Kittle, shout out to George Kittle, the people's tight end who joined us in the 8 o'clock hour. Go back on the Odyssey app, go find that bad boy, 95.7 The Game. On YouTube, you can find that interview. 25 minutes of George Kittle just riffing. Shoes, Zinni glasses, techniques, what he could improve on, the team itself. It was a lot of fun with George Kittle on the Morning Roast. We got one last segment with Baldy. Ask Baldy Anything. We have a couple calls here. Don't forget about the summit, though. The Red and Gold Summit happening September the 4th in Fremont, California at Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard. Willard or Dibs will start things off from 2 to 4. The rest of the hosts will join from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storylines surrounding the 49ers at the start of the season. Will Ayuk be here? Will Trent Williams be back? We'll see about that. You can come and watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. Baldy's just telling a lot of Madden stories.
I love it.
Like, you grew up. We got a lot of summer all in Madden because the Niners were so good.
Yeah. My grandma knew a bunch of people that knew John Madden from Daly City. Yeah, he was a Jefferson guy. He used to go to all the dances. My grandma went to Mission. My grandfather went to Bow. So that's all like the same era, and they knew all the same people. And my grandma knew his entire. My grandma passed away about 10 years ago. And, like, John was a legend.
Well, you talk about dancing. He taught ballroom dancing. Right? Like, it drove him nuts if Summerall would mention that. Like, John didn't want that on his resume after he became the best announcer and coach, you know, in Raider history, all that stuff. But, like, he taught ballroom. Like, he could teach anything, you know? Like, then the guy was just, he was just highly, highly curious about people. Yeah. Not just football, but just people and thought processes and interest. And so that, he made everything interesting. It could be steam coming off Nate Newton's head. You know what I mean? Whatever it was.
It was crazy.
Like, nobody brought more to a broadcast. John. And so, like, his ability just to entertain for 3 hours is still second to none.
The turduckens on Thanksgiving night. Yeah. He was good friends with John Robinson, a longtime USC coach, LA Rams coach. They had the no-bite sting. And Madden always says something where it comes to Shanahan, and a lot of people say, and I've had to outgrow myself. I had to grow up in this aspect as well. Oh, man, they can't win the big one. They can't win the big one. And I ended up watching, it wasn't the Fox special on John Madden, which was phenomenal and made me cry. I told Baldy, I was tearing up during it. I had to pause the damn thing for a second. But it's football life, I think, where he said, somebody asked him when he was a Raider coach, you know, you can't win the big one. He goes, what do you mean? They're all big ones.
Yeah.
How the hell do you think I get to the AFC championship game? Yeah. Like, they're all big games. And so, got to give Shanahan credit here, folks. In the last 5 years, the Niners are 54-29 and won a lot of big games.
Yeah. Each year has its own set of wrinkles, right? Things that happen throughout the year. Stuff you think is going to happen. Stuff that comes out of left field. Stuff you can't control. If you're running the team right now, or you're a player on the team, you've been talking kind of about the distraction, right? What do you mean by that? Like, Ayuk and Trent not being there? Because I think of it this way. Like, you have practice. Somebody's getting beat. You guys go back into the film room, and you're watching, and guys are like, I mean, Trent blocks that, and, you know, Ayuk makes that play, and he gets open here. I mean, that's what they're gossiping. Dudes do that, like, on a team. So how is this a distraction, but when you say that?
Well, you've got two of the six best players on your team that aren't there. One's there, but he's not, you know, engaged. So you got Brock Purdy out there with a bunch of backups, and there's Trent Taylor and Danny Gray and Braden Willis. I mean, these guys are out there. Like, these guys, they're not getting open. No. Like, you know, and so, like, you know, so now people are on Brock Purdy. Oh, he's just a product of the system. Like, he needs all the great players. No. Like, anybody needs receivers that stay on their feet and to win the route. If you can't beat man coverage in this business, you can't play in this business. So, like, Braden, you know, like, Ayuk is, like, his stance, like, I totally understand his stance. Like, the 49ers have paid everybody, every great player. Juice just got a second contract from the team. But Fred, like, Nick, you know, Debo, George, like, they've all gotten paid. So Brandon's like, I'm the next one up, right? And then sometimes, you like, there's just nothing left in the bag. And maybe that's the case. Maybe I mean, it looks like they've made him a decent offer. But, like, you know, the wide receiver market has exploded, you know, and that's why Jamar isn't here and CD isn't, you know, in. And look, I mean, if you're going to pay some of these guys $33 million, $35 million, you want to be better than them? Like, that's what the market is. So I don't know how it gets resolved. But if those two guys, like, when I go to watch a 49er game or I'm announcing a game, honestly, it feels like an all-star game. Like, there's just so much star power on that team. No team in this league. You talk about Kansas City, okay, they got Mahomes and Kelsey, but like, they don't have star power like the 49ers do. Like, it's just, maybe it's being in San Francisco and there's Jerry Rice over there, whatever. But it just feels like you're in an all-star game.
What does the offense look like? Put Trent to the side. Let's say Trent's playing, Ayuk's not. How does the offense change dramatically?
Well, they love to sting you in the middle of the field. And the one thing about Ayuk or CD is they are fearless in the middle of the field. Mm. Like, they'll go across the middle without any fear whatsoever. I don't know that they have anybody else. Debo could do that for sure, but he can't run a route like Brandon can. And he can't defeat your best corner the way he can. Debo's got his own skill set, which is special. But Ayuk is a true route runner. He was at Arizona State. He has been since he came late. He knows how to win. And if you're Brock, like, you know he's going to win in this situation. So if the play is for him, you know where to go. But even if it isn't for him, you know that at some point he's going to be open. Like that final play in overtime, you know, where he beats L'Jarius Sneed. Like, he's going to get open. You have that comfort level. George is a guy that he's not often the first read in this progression, but if the play breaks down, if the play gets extended, George knows how to get open, and that's when he finds him a lot of times for some big plays.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And he's made a lot of big plays for the 49ers. Let's take some calls before we end the show. Oreo Cookie in Oakland. Oreo Cookie, what's happening, man? Ask Baldy anything. What you got?
Hey, man, it's an honor talking to you, Baldy.
Thank you.
We all respect your opinion. So I got a couple of questions for you. First one is, who is your favorite rapper? And the second one is, what is the best chick flick you've seen?
Well, favorite rapper is Eminem. Oh, I mean, only because he dropped me in a song one time, you know. So
did
you
he?
Know, yeah, yeah. If you look up Legacy, you put up Legacy right there. It's just a bunch of Brian Baldingers, you know. Like, I mean, that's coming out of Eminem's mouth. Like, I got instant street cred as soon as Eminem dropped me.
Brian Baldinger.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that is, he's ripping on me hard.
I'm not gonna lie. I want to give you a certain rap song. That's feels like
chick flick. I don't know, man. Like,
well, I'll ask a better question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, if you could be any character from movies or TV, who could you be? Who you had to act out that character, okay, for the entirety of the show or whatever? Like, could you be Tony Soprano? Could you be Luke Skywalker? Like, pick the movie or show that.
Well,
you
I would be like, I know I couldn't do it because nobody can do it, but I would be Robert Shaw in Jaws.
Ooh, wow.
That'd be my favorite. That's my favorite character in any movie of all
really?
Time.
Wow.
Yeah. Like that, because I love that movie and I've watched it a million times and I know probably every line, but I can, you know, I can find him for 5,000, but I can capture him and kill him for 10. Like, I would be Robert Shaw.
Yeah. Favorite gangster movie?
Goodfellas.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I always knew I wanted to be a gangster.
Goodfellas, you can watch it at any point. Yeah. If it's on, you just pop it in. It's like, okay, I'm going to watch it from here on out.
Who would you be if you had to be any character?
In The Godfather?
No, just in general. In movies, television, whoever. Because I already know who I think you want to be.
Who?
Denzel in Training Day.
Nah, I wouldn't be. He was crooked, man. No, I don't like that guy. Vito Corleone.
Yeah.
You know, Vito Corleone. I would rather be Vito Corleone.
So I've spent a fair amount of time in Sicily. And so Corleone, Sicily, right? If you drive through Corleone now, I haven't been there in maybe 7-8 years, but if you went through Corleone now, it looks exactly like it does in a movie.
Crazy.
Like, there's no way you could create that set.
Yeah,
on a set.
It's just like The Wire, Baltimore. True. I went out to Baltimore, and you get those vibes. Yeah. Like, wow, they hit a home run here.
Godfather 1 or 2, because I know what I'm picking.
See, a lot of people, everybody goes Godfather 2.
I mean, Vito.
It is.
From Corleone. All right, Vito Corleone.
Yeah. Part 2 is great. I love part 1, though.
Clemenza?
I love both of them.
I love both.
You know.
But is that the best scene ever? The duct tape the gun into, or whatever, tape the gun up into the bathroom, come out and shoot the cop and the gangster?
I don't know. Which one is it when they shoot up the shack going to the beach? With Sonny. With Sonny.
Was that when he's going through the bridge. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Bridge. Oh, yeah.
That's the end of one.
That's the end of one, right?
Yep, the end of one. That was pretty good.
Toward the end of one.
Yep.
Because it's so long. God, it's so good.
So it is so good. Let's take some more calls. Speaking of rap. Now, first, I want Spinoni to read the lyrics from Eminem. Eminem, do we have a special caller who's got a special rap for you, Baldy?
Right.
So hang tight.
Okay.
Hey, tight. Spinoni, what's the lyrics? You got
it? Well, I just play the whole thing. I cleaned it up, so it's PC for the airways,
Baldy. All right, let's do it.
This is pretty hard. I'm going to play. This is Eminem Legacy.
Versus the Holo in 16, Lions offense. So bring on the Giants, Falcons, and Miami Dolphins. It's the body bag game. I'm supplying coffins. Because you butt kiss. Bunch of Brian Baldingers. You going.
That is so good. Yeah.
That's next level. That's next level right there.
No, this next one will be next level.
No, Duke of the City. Duke of the City, one of our favorites.
Okay.
The Freestyle King. So we have these Doobie Awards every single year. I think you won a Doobie Award for best interview of the year.
Best guest.
You won best guest. You won it in a landslide. It was no contest. Yeah. Yeah. But Duke won Freestyle of the Year, I think, 2 straight years.
Okay.
Right? He's a champ. Nobody's unseated him. And so he's got a freestyle for you, Baldy. Right. Duke of the City. What's up, Lakeview? Lakeview in the house.
Come on, man. Y'all already know what it is, man. Baldy, you in the house, man, with the LVC. We in the house, man, with Tan Shacky, man. You know how we do it, man. 95.7 the game. Is the station. You see all these other stations playing down to me. We the city by the bay. We're Tayan Shasky, the stove kind of coat. I keep my brass beside me. Spaghetti and love me. The Giants in the field, the better have his glove, man. We got Steiny and Goo. I think it's 10-2. Who will make you last, Steiny on the coup? Listen every day because they be breaking the rules. Willing and Dibs, what are you doing? It's Duke from the city. I think I got something brewing. It's not football season, but the Niners is back. Me and Dibs go back like an old Cadillac. We got got Debo. Are you pretty Ricky running slant? That's breaking news. You better ask Lou Grant. You do been Twitch. We ain't forgot about you. But you guess in the house. Man, we got the goofs coming in with remarks so clever and smooth. From the east to the west, the north to the south. Now defy some of the game all in your mouth. One Jack, two Jack, three Jack, four. R.I.P. Willie, made me want to thank you for the show. Go to day Warriors. Ain't no need for plexing. Y'all know what's next in. Clay shooting threes and he all up in Texas. That's how we do it on 95.7 the game. The morning road with your special guest, Brian Baldinger. The big rag goo is ATC UNLV 95.7 a game for life, baby.
That's unreal. Like that's a rip right there.
That's what happens on the show, Baldy. Shasky and I have started this show just unbelievable. We get freestyles, we get poems. We had Uncle Gene with his wife Jan.
Yeah. Pots and pans.
Pots and pans is drums, giving us a poem and a rap.
I'm going to tell you guys, if I'm going to Levi's Stadium before a game, obviously you're going to hit traffic. So you're coming into the parking lot right there, media section, windows down, like we're all waiting to get through the booth. Yeah. We got our pat. I'm telling you, I can't tell you, people are like, Baldy, you're the morning rose, man. Like they follow, man. Those fans are following.
No, they follow. So, we get like George Kittle dropping an S-bomb. It happens every week. Like we get surprised when somebody doesn't curse on the show.
I'm up at the cabin last week. I think it was Saturday. You're on the NFL Network. Yeah. We're watching the game. It's Texans-Giants.
Yep.
Was that the game? Okay. It's Texans-Giants, and they cut to the halftime show. It's you. I forget who you were next to. You were on the right-hand side. My wife goes, is that Baldy? I go, yeah, that's Baldy. She's like, he cleans up so well. I'm so used to him having the phone up to his ear and the bandana on. Yeah. He's got the suit. I almost didn't recognize him.
Yeah. I'm heading down there today. I'm being in there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. So 49ers, you know, Raiders obviously this weekend. Like, I don't know, do 49ers fans travel in preseason?
They traveled a little bit in Nashville, though. There's some red out there. But Niner fans, like my fiance is like,
I remember seeing one game at the Stick when those two fan bands got together.
Yeah, it was not. It's cleaned
the
up.
The battle was in the stands. Yeah, so, the field.
Dude, it's like five different fights.
Somebody got shot in the bathroom at that game. It was insane.
Somebody got shot in the bathroom. Somebody got shot in the parking lot.
It was out of control. $1 tickets on StubHub were used to print out the StubHub ticket back in the day.
I remember the entire. I think it may have been Harbaugh. First year as head coach, that battle with the Bay, they had to pause it. They said, look, we can't play this game.
It was just, we can't do it.
Yeah. And like the entire second half, it's like, oh, look over there. Oh, wait, look over there. Wait, let's watch your back. Hey, keep your head on the swivel. You never know what's going on here.
I'm telling you. I was happy to be in the booth.
I'll give you a great Candlestick story. So Niners played the Raiders late in the year. Raiders were terrible. Lamont Jordan was the running back for the Raiders. Look, he was smiling. He's smiling.
Former Jet, right? He was a former Jet.
Yeah, he was. Yep. So
I liked Lamont.
Something happened. He got a pitch. They tossed him the ball, and he just dropped it, and he just stopped running on the play. Yeah. And somebody from the Niners picked it up and ran the entire distance. All the Raider fans got up and leave. Well, leaving Candlestick, I mean, it's bad getting out of any stadium. Yeah. You're bumper to bumper all the way out. And Niner fans are clowning Raider fans. Like, you wore face paint, now you got to sit in 3 hours of traffic. And they're watching. The Niners were terrible at that time. This was one of the last hoorahs at Candlestick between the two of them. The next game was that preseason game, and both teams were down bad. We were in no position to be talking smack.
I do miss the Raiders
in
Oakland, California,
smoking in their seats.
Yeah, I'll say this though. I think league wide, like I'm going to Brazil with these Eagle fans.
I can't believe you're going to Brazil.
But here's the deal: like it has become the thing now in the NFL.
Yeah,
they're like, I never thought Miami had any fan base. Like Miami Dolphin fans are traveling. Like that teams are like, this is a big deal now. Like obviously, when the Niners go down to LA, they take over the stadium. It's ridiculous, right? So they just wipe the entire, whether it's Rams or Chargers, they just wipe everybody out. But like, especially if it's Rams. But now like, it's become a big thing. To have their fan base travel to some of these games.
You brought this up last year on the show. I'll never forget. You said, like, Niner fans wanted to be known. It's not just winning the game. It's like a badge of honor.
Yes.
Like, no, we want to know. We want you to know that we took over your stadium, too.
No doubt.
So, like, every time I hear from people, they're like, Bonte, Buffalo game. December 1st. And I'm thinking, I'm waiting for the Warriors schedule. The Warriors schedule is released, and I found out that the Warriors home opener is the same day the Cowboys-Niners game, same time. And I'm thinking, oh, God, like, why do you have to do this to me? But like, it's a badge of honor to be like, hey, we want to go to Buffalo. We want to go to Green Bay. Yep. And so now it's taking over league-wide?
No.
Steelers fans always travel.
Some teams don't have great fan bases. Like, Pittsburgh always traveled. Philadelphia always traveled. But now we're seeing other teams do the same thing now. And it's become a big deal in this league. And it is a badge of honor.
Yeah, Dolphin fans traveling. All right. I'll figure that.
Fast Five time, because I got some questions for both.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, Baldy. A couple of rapid fire ones. Favorite uniform in the NFL?
I probably have to say Steelers are hard to beat. The whole thing on the side of the helmet, the decal, the whole thing. Steelers, black and gold. Like, it's legendary.
Favorite stadium all time?
Lambeau.
Lambeau?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just speak the history. Like, the history of the NFL is right in their stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and so I caught my only pass in the league at Lambeau Field, 37 yards one day when I was with the Colts. Like, just that stadium, that city, that town.
Somebody clipped that not too long ago.
It's out there somewhere.
You need a nice little run down the sideline.
Yeah, I got blown up.
Somebody took your knees out or something like that.
Yeah, I got airborne, man. They sent me flying.
Strongest player you ever went up against?
Probably Eric Swan.
Wow, that's a name.
Yeah, my hands still hurt.
Yeah.
From grabbing that guy's jersey.
Player that you think got jobbed of being an all-timer because of the situation, the team, the coach, something, his own doing, you know?
I would have two. I mean, I think Everson Walls was the best corner I've ever seen. Like, he only led the league in interceptions his first 2 years in the league and three times overall. I mean, Everson Walls, he's got 60-plus interceptions in Super Bowl. Like, that guy's getting jobbed. And then Ray Donaldson is the single best offensive lineman I ever played with. And he won a Super Bowl with Dallas, but he played 15 years in this league. Like, that guy is as good a center that ever played.
I think I know the answer to this, but are you a fan of these Midwest cold-weather cities building domes?
No, I don't want the dome. Like, just I was a vendor for the Minnesota Vikings when they played at Metropolitan Stadium.
Wow.
Like, Bud Grant never wore a coat. I don't care how cold it was. Like, there's an advantage. Like, I don't want Buffalo to build a dome.
Cleveland's building a dome. They want to build a dome. Chicago wants to build a dome. It doesn't make any sense.
They want that to host a Super Bowl.
That's stupid.
But the fan base doesn't care. They're still going. Like, they're showing up in Buffalo. They don't care what the record is. They're showing up. They're showing up in Green Bay. They don't care what the record is, how cold it is. They're going. Now, you saw what happened in Kansas City in that game against Miami this year.
It was incredible.
One of the five coldest games ever played.
Yeah. And Peacock got 50 zillion subscribers from that one playoff game.
I mean, heck, Pittsburgh and Buffalo with all the wins for them. They had to move the game to Tuesday. Remember that? That's what I want. That's football. Forget all these damn domes.
And for TV ratings, like, when you get snow, ice, all that stuff happening out there, like it just draws more eyeballs.
Chargers, Jim Harbaugh. Is it going to go well, or is it going to be kind of leaving you wanting more? Because Herbert's already hurt.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't do anything about that. Like, it's plantar fasciitis. Like, I've had that injury. You'd rather cut the tendon in the bottom of your foot and just cut it and let it grow back than to deal with that pain. Like, it's ridiculous. But I think it's going to go well. Like, the guy's just too proven. And I think Joe Alt and Rayshon are going to be really good tackles. I think it's going to go well.
Favorite college football team this year?
Gosh, I don't know. Like, there's only let me see.
Bama, new coach. No, Georgia, same team.
Like, I know that. All
Ohio State.
I'll just say. I'll say Michigan still.
Yeah,
Michigan. I'll say Michigan. I want to see what they do.
Favorite bowl game? Because I made it a point in my life.
Bowl.
I grew up watching all these great bowl games. I said, when I get enough money, I'm going to travel. So I was lucky to be at the Rose Bowl last year, Michigan, Alabama. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable game. What's your favorite bowl game?
I'd say the Rose Bowl. I was there 1 year. Johnny Robb was he was in the stands, so I forget who was coaching USC. But he had all these ex-USC players sitting in this section. And I was with this guy, Fred Cornwell, who was a tight end there. Like, John Robinson got up with 3 minutes to go in the half, and he came back with him and his son, And they had 8 court-sized beers for all of his ex-players.
Wow.
That he, Happy New Year to you guys. Like, I wouldn't be here. Like, I don't know. That's just awesome. It was Ohio State, USC.
Wow.
It was a legendary game. Wow. Like, just seeing that game and being there was great.
Aliens come down to Earth and they say, Brian Baldinger, show us the game that represents NFL football. What game are you showing them?
That's a good question.
Man, I would say, like, any game where it was the Ravens. I'd say Ravens-Steelers AFC Championship game. Like, in Pittsburgh. Like, that game, I was on the sideline that day. Like, the hits, anybody, like, if you just came down and put a blindfold on and you just listened to the game,
my gosh,
you'd get scared.
Harrison?
Willis McGahee won't watch that game no more. After he got popped in that game. I mean, that was...
I can test. Wow. I follow Harrison online. Yeah.
James Harrison.
The guy is still moving weights. Like, I mean,
he's bigger and stronger than ever.
I mean, the greatest play in Super Bowl history, in my opinion.
I remember one time, so I was in Pittsburgh, and they wanted me to do a feature with James Harrison. He was just named the Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm trying to think, like, what can I do with James? Like, we can put on a 3-minute feature. So I said, let's teach the art of the sack fumble. So he's telling me how he, like, he secures the tackle first, and then he's punching the ball out. So we do this whole thing. So the PR director's there, and he's like, you know, we got to rap, like that kind of thing. And at the end, James has got to read a couple lines. And, you know, like, my producer's like, he's fine with it. And I'm like, nah, that wasn't good. So I said, hey, James, come here. And he's walking out the door. I'm going, you know, I didn't think that was very good. He goes, what are you talking about? I go, I think you can, like, I want you to sack the quarterback. Right. I want you to kill the quarterback. Can you do better? He goes, yeah, I'll do better. And we got James, like, to read this thing like he was literally ripping, you know, like Peyton Manning's head off.
Baldy, that is it. Best. That was awesome. Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. At home, on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. We're going to end the show like this because it's one of my favorite clips. And we were talking about him, but to start the segment, here it is right here, Baldy, just for you.
Hear it.
One of those guys. It seems like every team has a Baldinger on it. There's been 3 brothers that have been offensive line. Mike Shad is a normal starting left guard. He's been injured. Baldinger's come in. And then the big play, Fred Barnett. But today, this guy Baldinger's done a heck of a job. I mean, you hate to pick out Brian Baldinger, but he really does. He and Heller on that left side, that's where they've been getting all those yards.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.